May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening, everybody. When Mark asked six fellows to preach, he posed the same question to all of us. And that question was this: does your academic subject in any way connect you with the human search for God? Now, I'll let you into a secret. The reason why Mark has asked me to preach first is I'm not half as clever as the other five fellows who will be speaking next, so it can only get better from here. But before we get into my subject, which is clinical medicine, I thought it might be good to start by saying, what are we actually thinking about? Now, research from the Pew Charitable Trust has shown that about 6 billion people, that's about 84% of us, of humans living on the planet, affiliate themselves with some religion, something that has a deity as a focus. Even 1 in 5 atheists, those individuals who would deny the existence of a deity, believe in some force beyond the natural world, beyond the physical being. So in short, that tells us that as humans, we're a sort of believing bunch. We'll tend to believe in stuff. But actually, Mark's question is not about that. It's not a sort of questionnaire, do you believe in God? Yes, no, I'll ask my wife. It's not that sort of question. His question refers to a search. And in asking us that question, he's assuming that we're carefully looking for something. Now, I'll let you know that I am a Christian. I do believe in God. I'm just not very good at it. So what I thought I'd do is just share with you three things about how my subject helps me with my search for God. And I think it probably does it in three ways. The first way is that my subject inspires the search for God. That beautiful psalm, Psalm 8, the psalmist says, and I'm reading now from the RGV, which is the Revised Gilbertson version, the psalmist says, "When I look at the stars, the moon and the sun, the work of your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him?" What the psalmist is saying in that is, when I'm confronted with the majesty of creation, why do you even give me a second thought? And indeed, what excites me, what gets me out of bed in the morning, what I love doing, is to understand cell biology. That's what I do, or try to. I'm fascinated by how the cell machinery enables me to stand in front of you and bore you to tears this evening. How does that work? And I've studied it for many years, and I can tell you that I'm utterly amazed, often left without breath. I could tell you about the 3 billion codes of DNA in each of us that says who we are, or how a single fertilized egg can eventually produce the 86 billion neurons that are firing between your ears, or I hope might be firing at the moment between your ears, or about the amazing protein network that exists that describes and determines precisely where, how big, and what shape every organ in your body should be. So the majesty of creation, just like the psalmist, that I confront every day in my research, that inspires me to ask what or who is behind this. So yeah, my subject inspires me in a search for God. The second thing is my subject teaches me how to search for God. Katie was an 8-year-old little girl. 2 years earlier, she'd been diagnosed with a particularly nasty brain tumor called a medulloblastoma, a form of brain cancer which then was pretty much fatal. I was a 19-year-old medical student in my second week of medicine, and I was assigned to the ward where Katie was being treated. And over that 6-week short period with Katie, I got to know her and her family quite well. And tragically, I also got to observe Katie as she died. Now, if we look back at that psalm, what always amazes me about Psalm 8, somewhat out of place, before the psalmist even talks about the majesty of creation, he says this: out of the mouths of infants and sucklings, of children, of babies, you have ordained strength or wisdom or truth. As a pediatrician, one of the things that I read about the God in the Bible that strikes me as utterly authentic is the significance that Jesus, that God, places on the child. Those who the world would view as the least mature, the least learned, the most vulnerable, God places highly on the agenda. And I think that's probably what Jesus had in mind when in our second reading, he calls a little child before him. The disciples seeking a promotion had just asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus responds, again reading from the RGV, I tell you, if you don't become like this little kid, you haven't got a chance of knowing me. And as a pediatrician over the last 30 years, I've had the privilege to treat many children, children who faced the most incredible suffering, some of them who've even faced death. And in that time, I've never ceased to be amazed by their freedom from deceit, their freedom from a dogmatic point of view, their freedom from anything other than humility and truth. And in watching children go through that, I've learned that that's really the only way we can search for God, to leave behind dogma, pre-existing notions or belief, or even an unwillingness to accept what might be regarded by the world as fanciful. Unless we approach God with a search like that in our heart, we don't have a chance of knowing him. Finally, my search for God, or my subject, gives me a glimpse of the one I'm searching for. One in two of us will get cancer. One in six of us will die of that disease. In fact, this weekend, we've been celebrating the loss of a very dear friend and remembering his memory, and a master and a fellow of this college. But just as the cancer statistics are terrifying, occasionally overwhelming, my subject also gives me a glimpse of the one who I am searching for, of God. So how do you see that? A Celtic tradition would regard this as a thinning. They were talking about the veil between man and God, where occasionally you glimpse God. So how do you see that? Well, I see God in people like you, who give more than £1 billion every year to the cause of cancer research, to the more than 4,000 researchers who every morning get up just to end the scourge of cancer, and for the 3,000 and more doctors, surgeons, and many more nurses and healthcare professionals who every day, under the most difficult of circumstances, stoop to lift the heads of those who are suffering from cancer. In their actions, I see the mark of that creator, the one who we're searching for. So my subject inspires me to search. It teaches me how to search. And it gives me the glimpse of the one that I'm searching for.